Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. So Jordan Hamm came in a few minutes ago and said, it's April Fool's Day, you know. And I said, sure, that's why you're standing here in front of me. No, I'm just kidding. And I guess Sean McVay, the Rams coach, sent a text to Cliff Kingsbury, changed up the numbers to make it look like it was Roger Goodell calling to tell him that the number one pick in the draft had been revoked from the Cardinals. I like this. I like this a great deal. I was in San Antonio last night doing the Hot Shots game, and we got back early this morning. I actually stayed with my son this morning. He's close to the studios here, and sent my wife a text that our plane had to be diverted to Alamogordo, New Mexico, and that we were going to have to bus home through Denver. And she actually bit and was like, really? Okay, so what do I need to do here for the next couple of days? I did not do that to you, Eric. Did you have an April Fool's thing that you were thinking about today?
No.
Nothing?
No.
You don't play those games?
No, not really.
No? Did you have a good weekend?
It wasn't bad.
Yeah?
Went really fast.
What'd you do?
Oh, pulled weeds in my front backyard.
I've been to your house. You don't have room for weeds, at least out front.
Yeah, well, rain.
I have not been to the backyard.
Rain plus rocks.
Roundup
equals weed.
Makes you sick.
I guess. I mean, it'll kill them. It won't go away.
Did you watch any sports? Did you watch the Final Four?
I watched most of the Final Four.
Yeah.
Didn't see all of it. I watched the Hot Shots game last night.
Yeah.
Pretty intriguing weekend of college basketball, though.
The league is still alive.
The league is still alive.
Yeah, the Hot Shots. Yeah. I'll get into that as the show. We have Peter King with us today. Very much looking forward to having Peter with us on the number one overall pick.
I like the fresh blood that we're seeing in the Final Four, because it was setting up like, oh, wow, this is going to be the first time ever all four number ones are going to be in the Final Four, and I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't know how Jim Nance is going to live with it, because the Duke love – am I wrong on this?
No. I was so happy Duke lost. They should have lost like 3 games ago, but it's
– I understand that for CBS – like, I think what Charles is doing is, and yeah, he's comes on the show and he's a friend and all that stuff. I think it's just brilliant.
It's great.
It's the greatest.
That's the only reason that I really have any interest in seeing Auburn advance, is just because I can watch Charles and just hear the reaction. And I loved how one of the three, CBS, TBS, TNT, whatever they're on, they had the box where they'd show like Kenny Smith during the UNC game, Charles Barkley during the Auburn game. It's great. Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's what you want.
They figured it out, because remember, there was a stretch where there was criticism directed towards CBS of, why do they have these guys from inside the NBA over here on the college game? They don't really know what's going on.
It's
they
been
don't
9 years now, Brad. Think about that. Years.
But I think they found the way to use them. And sure, it helps with Auburn, but have some fun. Charles is sitting there with balloons and pom-poms in front of him on the set, very openly, blatantly rooting for a team.
I mean, you look at
his
tie, like, and it's fine. I mean, it's okay.
Yes.
It's just okay.
Yeah, I wanted Duke to win today, I guess.
Because I'd rather hear and watch that than them try to figure out who the backup point guard is for some of these schools, because they don't know. They're NBA people.
They're not
Seth Davis.
You can hear it in their voice. So, like, Reggie Miller... I felt, and Chris Webber. Chris Webber's gotten a lot better. They really like the college atmosphere versus going to do, the Warriors are playing Oklahoma City in March. Well, they're going to play each other in May. So let's not get too hyped up about what is going on. You can just hear it in their voice.
Or, Brad, the Warriors playing the Charlotte Bobcats and holding a 48-point fourth quarter lead last night at one point. Also on the bar. Yeah.
48-point
fourth quarter lead.
Do you remember when, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, there was a push from fans for Bruce Pearl rather than Bobby Hurley? Am I right on this? I was thinking about it when I was watching.
I do remember that. Yep.
Yeah, and I called some ASU people. They didn't get to them, but because I think it's very fair to bring this up. This is not being critical of Bobby Hurley, but look at what Bruce Pearl has done. And my reservation about Bruce Pearl was, he's going to get the program put in jail. Well, he hasn't done that at Auburn yet. And they don't really care if he gets the program put in jail 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because they're in the Final Four.
First time in school history.
Like, we were on the bus when the Texas Tech game was going on. Our flight to San Antonio, did the Hot Shots game over the weekend. And so we flew down Saturday afternoon. And the bus driver had the Texas Tech broadcast on. And there was a couple things going on. The poor Texas Tech broadcaster was having all sorts of technical problems, so he was getting mad. But at the same time, his team was winning, so he was going crazy. It's the play-by-play guy in Lubbock, Texas. Imagine, you know, there's not anything that could be wrong in this world. We are here in the Elite Eight, and we're winning. So this guy was losing his mind. So it was a great weekend of college basketball. I watched most every game. Thursday and Friday and Saturday and yesterday, the Duke game ended while we were in our broadcast. So I did not see the thrilling finish to it. Yeah. Duke should have lost a couple of times. It felt like to me, and it's still, Ja or Zion. If you're the Suns, is there an easy answer on this? The answer probably is, yeah, you take Zion because he is truly amazing to watch. He is unlike anybody that I've seen. He just goes out there and pounds and pounds and pounds. And when he gets the ball down the low post, it's over. But when he's out on a wing, he can step back and hit a three, or he goes to the basket and people don't want to take a charge because they don't want to get life insurance and fall under the ground by 6 feet. Speaking of which, we're brought to you by Sagicor Now. See how I did that? Protect what matters most, and you do it with life insurance, because you just never know when things are going to happen. And you want to make sure that you're prepared, your family is prepared, those that you love and care about most, that they are prepared. We don't want to talk about this, but you need to address it, okay? I got my license for Sagicor last year, and I really like helping people out because it is looking straight at them in the eye and say, do you have everything handled the way you want it to be handled? If you didn't come home tonight, is everything handled? So I can't sit there and log on for you on your phone or your device as you're watching me, but you can do it yourself. Log on, get your free quote. At Sagicor Now, we appreciate Sagicor and their support. Great people at Sagicor. The Diamondback numbers were just horrific this weekend. How do you give up 43 runs and 15 home runs to open the season? 15 home runs! They had three errors yesterday, and Torrey Lovello was upset. They're 1-3. They go to San Diego for the Manny Machado show tonight. And then the Red Sox come in this weekend. I mean, we really could be sitting here a week from now talking about a team that is 2-10. I don't want that. I really don't. I would like baseball season to stretch out a little bit. So, you know, you go to San Diego and you want this series to actually mean something. Go take 2 of 3 from the Padres. Do not get swept. They played well over the weekend. So there's a little bit of pressure, I think, on the Diamondbacks. And the Coyotes keep their playoff hopes alive. That's the best story that we have here in Arizona right now is the Coyotes. I'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Also, on a serious note, in being around the Alliance the last 2 weeks, Jeff Munn was off doing other broadcasts with ASU women. So I was asked to do a couple games. So for me, spent some time with Rick Neuheisel, their head coach, great name in college football, high school football here in the Valley. Saw the players in action, sat with the coaches over meals. And I'm going to give you kind of a feel about the Alliance because it's very similar to what I've done in the past in terms of startup. This is a startup. What they're doing is a startup. So not everything goes smooth. But I do believe that there is a space for what the Alliance is trying to accomplish. Those who want to trash it, you've never flown on a plane. You haven't been in a locker room. You don't know. You're just simply an elitist. I mean, there's something there to these guys still chasing their dream. And it's not a bunch of stiffs out there. There have been leagues where it's like, this guy can't play. So I'm going to get into that a little bit as the show progresses, too. But Peter King joins us next. NBC Sports NFL columnist Skypes in. It'll be good to catch up with Peter. He was here at the Biltmore last week. I want to ask him directly about the pressure on Steve Kymen, Michael Bidwell to get the number one pick right, if it is, in fact, Kyler Murray today, and rule changes in the NFL. That is next with Peter King. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to turn our attention to all things around the Arizona Cardinals, the NFL. The NFL owners meetings were here last week. Football Morning in America's Peter King joins us. Peter was at the Biltmore last week, a very busy man. I think coming into that meeting, it felt as though, and just following you on your social, you were not expecting the bombshell of replay. and a pretty uneventful meeting. We'll get to the Cardinals in a minute, but just go back on the meetings and what happened. It was pretty substantive.
Well, on Sunday night, first of all, just so that I you know, if I could do a commercial for one thing in my life,
sure,
it would be for the Arizona Biltmore. It's my favorite hotel in history. It's just, it's charming. It's 90 years old. Yeah. It feels like there's history. It's Marilyn Monroe's favorite hotel. It's just, it's the greatest place. Anyway, Sunday night at the meetings, I met with Troy Vincent, NFL's EVP of football operations. He's been with the competition committee every step of the way for the last 2 months as they've tried to figure out what in the world they're going to do with replay as it pertains to pass interference. And when I left him Sunday night at about 7:45 p.m., I mean, there was no way that this was happening. No way they were going to approve replay for a very simple reason. There were too many owners in that room who already think that replay has gone too far, and they were not going to allow coaches to throw flags on plays that had not been penalized on the field. So that's what I wrote on Monday. It's very unlikely, blah, blah, blah. And then I found out a couple of things during the day on Monday and then early Tuesday. Number one, Roger Goodell had told owners, you've got to do something about this. Mm. This is too important. The technology is way too advanced in our game for you to see a play that happened in New Orleans that everybody knows was wrong. Everybody, immediately, they all knew it was wrong. And then not fix it? I mean, that could happen again. How ridiculous would the league look if that happened again and there was no mechanism in place to fix it? And then also the coaches had a very long meeting on Monday, about 2.5 hours. It was scheduled to be an hour. And it was hilarious. One of the things I wrote in my column today, Monday, is that one of the coaches in the meeting basically kept looking at his watch, said, come on, let's go. Mm. And Bill Belichick kind of snapped at him and said, hey, this is important. We're not giving this short shrift. And, you know, kind of shouted the guy down. And I don't know which coach it was, but I know that Belichick did that. Mm. So anyway, I think those two things happened, and then you had some really smart and well-spoken coaches. I wrote about a Jason Garrett speech that I was told was pivotal in the discussions. And then late Tuesday, and Garrett's point was, we have more than enough technology to fix this. Let's fix it. And anyway, it ended up getting passed. So, Brad, I was really surprised, but at the end of the day, I think the owners and the coaches did the right thing.
Take yourself into this, Peter, but away from everybody else. From your view, is there too much technology in the game now?
See, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look back at that game,
sure,
in New Orleans that day, and let's just ask yourself the question. Now, I'm gonna estimate this. There's probably about, at the time of that play, there's probably about 45 million people watching that football game. And 45 million people saw an egregious penalty that was not called. Not only pass interference, but helmet-to-helmet contact, leading with your helmet, both of which should have been called or could have been called, and a mistake was made. And the question is, should a mistake like that, should you just say, we can't open up the game to fix a mistake like this because it would just get too crazy as to what else, what can of worms that would open up?
Right.
I don't believe that. I understand there will be a can of worms open up, Brad, but I think it's ridiculous to suggest you shouldn't do anything after 40 million people in the United States and around the world saw a penalty and at a vital moment of a game and the penalty was not fixed.
No, that's a good point. Peter King with us, Football Morning in America. You can follow Peter on Twitter. Make sure you read his column, Football Morning in America. Focus in, NFL draft right around the corner now as we're into April. Your gut today tells you the Arizona Cardinals with the first pick in the draft do what?
Take Kyler Murray and trade Josh Rosen on draft day. The reason, you know, everybody has said, well, geez, why don't they just declare what they're going to do, blah, 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 and all this. I think there's three reasons why you don't see this happen. And again, Brett, I have no inside information that they will sit there and pick Kyler Murray. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't pretend to know. So let me say that right at the beginning. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, like most people in and around the NFL, that the Cardinals are going to pick Kyler Murray. If they're going to pick Kyler Murray, just remember one thing. The NFL likes suspense, likes drama with the first pick in the draft. It's a major television show. It's going to expand for the first time ever to over-the-air regular network television. ABC television will be broadcasting all of the draft on ABC. And so you think about it. Now it's on ABC. It's going to be on ESPN, where it always was. And then it's also on NFL Network, where right. It's always been.
Three networks.
So you ask yourself this question. You know, if there's no drama with the first pick in the draft, the ratings are really not going to be great at the start of the draft, most likely. So the NFL would like there to be some suspense. So I'm sure they, if they haven't said anything to Michael Bidwill and Steve Keim, like, just shut up and don't say anything. I'm sure that the Cardinals know that, number one. Number two, if they traded Josh Rosen today, let's just say for the sake of argument, to the New York Giants, if they made that trade today, here's the question. How much, first of all, would it do to the beginning of the draft? You might as well take Kyler Murray right now, number one. So then the beginning of the draft is just a snoozer. So that really isn't going to happen. And secondly, how do you know if you're the Cardinals that you're going to get your best offer for that pick on April 1st or April 9th or whenever? Anything other than on draft day or draft night. That's when teams are really motivated to make a deal. Let's say that John Gruden, as I believe, loves Kyler Murray and is interested in trading for Kyler Murray. Mm. Think of all of the things that would have to happen, and things that would have to happen on the QT, you know, very, very quietly for something like this to happen. First of all, Gruden would need to have a place to send Derek Carr. So pick a team, Miami, the Giants. I don't even know who, but he would have to have found a place to send Derek Carr. Secondly, he would have to make an over-the-top offer, he and Mike Mayock would, to the Cardinals for Kyler Murray, you know, for the first pick in the draft. So there's a lot of little things that are going on here that are why, in my opinion, collectively, you're not going to see Josh Rosen go anywhere until draft day, and perhaps not until the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock.
Well, and I've actually heard, Peter, the idea of, do you have to trade Josh Rosen on draft night? You could keep these two quarterbacks, much like RG3 and Kirk Cousins with the Redskins back in the day, and get your better offer as the injuries start to fall, as they usually do. And Rosen's number is actually pretty attractive to teams out there. The Cardinals could use that as a position strength.
His number is hey, listen, his number is incredible. It's basically $2.1 million on average for the next 3 years. Yep. It's an incredible number. But I'll just – let me make this point.
Sure.
When you say that. The reason I don't buy that is because if you're the Cardinals – don't you want potentially I mean, let's say, as we have heard rumored, let's just say that it's the Patriots who end up making a trade for him. Let's, for the sake of argument.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sits for the next 2 years, and then opening day 2021, he's the Patriots quarterback. That, I mean, I'm not saying that will happen, couldn't, whatever. But if I'm the Cardinals, you know what kind of draft this is right here, right now? This is an excellent defensive draft in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, right in there. So if you're Steve Keim, if you're Michael Bidwill, you know, if you're anybody in that organization or who loves that organization, my question is, wouldn't you like to have, let's just say, for the sake of argument, the 53rd pick, or the Patriots have a pick, I think Detroit's pick, it's somewhere in the 50s. They got it last year. So wouldn't you like to have that pick, let's just say, to get a starting defensive player in this draft right now, rather than wait and get a pick in 2020 when you don't really know? Let's say you can get a two. Let's say, here's the way I would look at it. If I could get either a 3-19 or a 2-20, I'd take the 3-19 because, and look, you know, we'd have to look and see exactly where it would be. But in my opinion, I would rather have knowing that I've got to rebuild my defense, and I really need some help on defense. And also, you know, this is not a first round draft for offensive linemen either. That's a down the line draft for offensive linemen. Maybe you get a really good player. Maybe you get the tackle from Kansas State in the second round, who is an excellent player. And so all I'm saying is, Brad, I'd rather have the pick that I'm going to get for Josh Rosen if I do make that in 2019 rather than 20.
Peter, one last question. I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time as always. Peter King, Football Morning in America. And that is this. Steve Keim probably should be renting right about now, because Michael and Steve have been joined by the hip here in Arizona. If they take Kyler Murray and it doesn't work out, when you miss on a quarterback, as they did with Matt Leinart, it can set you back years, though they got lucky getting Kurt Warner off the scrap heap and Carson Palmer for a bag of rocks from the Oakland Raiders at the time. I guess I look at this and say, they can't screw this up. You don't want to screw up a first-round pick, but if they mess this up, and Michael's never been in this space, Steve's never been in this space, there's no easy answer on this from my point of view. And the microscope should be red hot on these two to not get this pick wrong, obviously. I guess my view to you is, you're close. You've seen this organization and know Michael a little bit, and Steve. What's your view on the two of them being competent enough to get this right?
Well, I don't really think – look, I don't think this is a hard pick, Brad.
Okay.
I don't. And that isn't to say that I guarantee you he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be good. All I know is that this is a gem of a football player. Again, there's no guarantee, but this is a guy who's got a very good chance to be good in the NFL for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if he washes out and he's terrible, do these guys deserve to be fired? Does Keim deserve to be fired? You know, I guess so. But, I mean, it's pretty hard, honestly. Sometimes some decisions you make, like I was very critical of Keim last year for the Sam Bradford contract. I mean, I thought it was exorbitant in a ridiculous way. It was not necessary, in my opinion. And if you're going to lose them, so what? What's Sam Bradford done to get 15 or 20 million guaranteed? But anyway, in this particular case, it would be hard for me to dress down Steve Keim if he messes up this pick, because I would make this pick every day of the week and seven times on Sunday.
Okay, so no Nick Bosa, so there's no reason to go on the defensive side. You take this guy.
I mean, I'd love to have a dominant defensive player, but I – You know, this would be like potentially, and I'm not saying that he'll be as good or he'll be an all-time great. I'm not. But this would be one of those cases, not exactly like it, but if you're the Portland Trailblazers and you took Sam Bowie and you had to watch Michael Jordan be great for all those years. And again, believe me, I'm not saying that that this guy is going to be as good in football as Michael Jordan was in basketball. But what I am saying that is that just because you have a quarterback who you like, but you're not totally smitten with, just because you have a quarterback you like and you have needs elsewhere, it doesn't mean you pass on a guy who might be a great quarterback for a long time.
Always good to hear your voice and to see you, Peter. Appreciate the time and insight as always. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brad. Have a great week.
There's Peter King, Football Morning in America. Check out his content. You can also follow Peter on Twitter. Appreciate Peter King and his insight. And we're back with more after this timeout. So about 2 months ago, I was looking around all the coaching openings in high school football, and not for the life of me thought Jason Jewell would be one that would be considered for the jobs. No offense, but Jason called me, it was sometime in February, and said, hey, there's this that's going on. The godfather of recruiting, the godfather of high school football, as I call him, decided to go take the plunge, and Brophy said, we are right there with you. Jason is not this short compared to me, but I wanted to have Jason to come in. Eric and Jordan are in as well. So guys, this is really free-flowing. It's goodbye. It's not forever, but you've been at Brophy now for just over 2 weeks.
Yeah. Exactly. One day over 2 weeks right now.
And you have a new addition to the family in the last month.
Yeah, I have a month-old baby.
And so life is just spinning. Give us, I guess, to start with, how did this come about with you and Brophy? Why the Broncos? Why you?
Well, one, why Brophy? I don't know. That's an easy question. It's Brophy. It's one of the most prestigious jobs in the state of Arizona. So I grew up in that Central Phoenix area. And the traditions of Brophy has been there since I was in high school. Why did I want to be a head coach? Well, one, a place like Brophy, I graduated high school with honors. I graduated college with honors. So Brophy, I understand the academic rigors of a place like that. You get to compete at the highest level in 6A in the best region in the state and one of the best regions in the country. So our region schedule is absolutely brutal. But also it's a destination job for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going anywhere. It's going to be great for my family. I plan on retiring at Brophy as long as they don't run me out of there.
Eric, are you surprised by this?
I don't know if surprised is the right word. I mean, Jason fits a lot of the criteria that Brophy was and is looking for. It just was such a bombshell when you and I first talked about it, when Jason and I first talked about it. Like, this has a real chance of happening, and it did happen. So congrats to Jason.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think same deal. Just obviously Jason is qualified to go ahead and lead a program of Brophy's nature and their notoriety. Obviously just doing the show with him each and every week. It was a bit of a surprise knowing that.
Bit of a surprise?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I felt like throughout the interview process and having those conversations, you could tell Jason had that itch more and more. And it was starting, once it was more realistic, you could tell how excited he was for him. So that's why I'm so excited for him.
No, and I think too, guys, if we're being truth serum with each other, when you're at Glendale CC and community college football goes bye-bye, you didn't know what was next.
No,
and this came, you had some very big names in the coaching circles that called on your behalf. The first time you were contacted by Brophy, did it catch you by surprise? Did you know it was coming?
Well, I was contacted by somebody that said, I think you should put your name in. I think you'd be a good fit. And like all of you guys mentioned, I've never put in for a head coaching job at any level. If the junior colleges were going to continue to play, I don't know that I would have put in for this job. I was planning on retiring at Glendale, and that threw a whole loop and a wrench in my whole life. And my plan was to go to Arizona Christian and coach for Jeff Bowen until this opportunity presented itself. And again, a place like Brophy, it's great. But how did it all go down? Did I ever think I ever had a shot? I wasn't sure. There were some big name people that put in for this job, and Principal Ryan and Bill Woods, AD, felt strongly in my vision, and that is that I want to be at Brophy for a long time. I want to continue with the traditions of Brophy and get them back to having boatloads of Division I guys. So got a little bit of work in front of me, you know, over the next couple of weeks to sort all this out, because a lot of it is new to me. But I'm not too proud to go and ask for help or other people's opinions or advice, and that's what I'm doing right now. Finishing assembling a staff right now. It's almost done, and I'm very, very fired up. The guys that we have, several former NFL players are going to be on staff, and some very, very good former high school coaches and head coaches. So I'm fired up for that. And the kids so far have been great. We've had good numbers, 70 kids every day at 6 a.m. showing up and working out, and been fantastic.
You know, if you were to talk about the growth of Brophy as a football program through the years, they're about as low as they've been in recent years. They've gone through their third coach. You're their third coach.
I'm the third coach, yeah.
Yeah, not gone through you yet. No. But, you know, in fairness, you're taking over this program that once was a high-end machine, and you've got to rebuild it.
Yeah, I got to keep the kids that have Brophy ties at Brophy and keep kids from transferring. That's going to be a big deal for me, keeping those kids there. The freshman class, I watched their film this weekend, is absolutely loaded. So my goal is to get some of those kids playing varsity football, throw them in early, and see if we can't get it built back up. I have tremendous respect for Scooter Molander. He did a great job there. Saw him the other day, still teaching there on campus. And, you know, John Kitten had a good year last year, going 7-4 after the 1-9 season that they had the previous year. So I'm excited for the challenge.
So what I think has been interesting about this move, and Eric canvassed a whole bunch of coaches. This has got to be humbling. Eric, why don't you walk through that? Because there's not been one word that's come out of the coaching community other than over-the-top excitement, right?
Yeah, it was great. Right after Jason was hired, I reached out to close to 15 coaches, and all of them, in some way, shape, or form, paid the highest compliment to Jason and said that it was a home run hire for Brophy, and it was just a great decision for BCP moving forward.
Jordan? So on that note, who are you most looking forward to facing? I know you're friends with a lot of these coaches throughout the state. Who do you want to go head-to-head with?
Guys, they're all...
I'll put them on the spot.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. No, I want to...
What would be the most fun game? Maybe not necessarily like, oh, I'm ready to
beat
these guys.
Just going to beat you into the ground,
to be honest,
Jason.
I'm looking forward to playing the best of the best. I want to play Chandler and Perry and compete with those guys. And I have great respect for what Sean did at Chandler and Coach Gerritsen keeping him, I thought was smart by Chandler. And Preston Jones is one of the best coaches in the state. So I'm looking forward to playing those, you know, against those teams. You know, it'll be great.
Yeah. Okay. Who do you not want to line up against? One of your guys, you're like, this guy's got my number. This guy knows what I'm all about. If you think we're going to come in here and just do tears and kiss you goodbye,
no one has his number.
Why
he hasn't
not?
Coached a high school game yet.
I'm undefeated.
So.
I'm 2-0. That's it.
That's what we want.
That's what really sold Brophy.
Yeah, I'm the only undefeated.
I haven't lost a game
state.
Yet.
Yeah.
I'm brilliant. No, but when you have a very difficult schedule in year one.
No doubt.
Yeah?
Yes.
If you could do it over again, would you say, guys, let's go through this schedule a little bit?
Especially week zero.
No, we play Liberty, to start off.
Here we go.
Actually, Mark Smith was one of the first phone calls I got when it was announced that I got the job. So, and he, again, nothing but fantastic. And when Eric and Jordan said that, I laid in bed after that it was announced that I'm going to lead this team. I was just very, very humbled, by the nice things that they all said, and they'll continue to be nice to me as long as if we lose games. If we win, they probably won't be my friends anymore.
Yeah, right. So. A year from now, come back and say, this guy didn't call me, this guy deleted my number.
If I don't get any scoops, that may change.
Yeah.
To that end, is he ready to do what you did?
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of practice. Would it have been a decade?
It only took me 20 years to get it.
Two decades.
So, yeah, Jordan's great. He's going to be fantastic. It's you I'm worried about. You've been co-hosting the show.
Yeah, I know. I'm a stiff. I don't know where I'm going to go from here. The idea of family, okay? Balancing young family. Did you have to get her to sign on board on this, or is it just go chase?
No, my wife has been fantastic through the whole thing. But family is very, very big for me. So when I was introduced to the team, I had both of my sons with me. I had Andrew, my oldest son, in my arms to show all the kids and the parents that were there and the faculty and coaches that I'm about family. So I want to be able to figure out ways to let our kids be at home at night to have dinner with their parents. I think that's very big, and or for our staff members also to be able to spend time with their family, and balancing all of that football with the academics at Brophy plus the extracurriculars is that's been a challenge so far in my early times there.
Hmm. So what's been the biggest eye-opening experience so far on the job that you're like, whoa, I didn't see this coming, but now that I'm into it, I'm into it?
Well, you know, being in junior college level for so long, the only time I dealt with many parents was during the recruiting process. Mm-hmm. I'd sit in living rooms and talk. There's been more, you know, vocal parents at this point in time already, and everyone tells me to buckle up. So we'll see. I think I'm pretty good at handling it. I'm pretty calm, and I can have my wits about me. But and rightfully so, that the parents want to be involved with their kids. So I'm not going to be the guy that just shuts a parent up. You know what I mean? That's not right, you know. But there's a time and a place for everything. So if I'm getting a text message at 11 o'clock on a Friday night on why Johnny didn't get into a game, I don't think that's appropriate, because I do have a family as well. And I'm going to have to figure out ways to balance that.
And I know one thing about you, Jason, you're going to be honest, because that's one of your best traits, I think. You're going to be honest with the players. You're going to be honest with the parents. So don't change who you are.
No, I don't plan on it.
But there is going to be that person that says, well, this kid is playing, my kid should be playing. That's not what you're about.
No, I'll talk to any parent about their kid. I'm not going to talk about another kid. So if they want to know why a kid, their son isn't playing, then what did he do in practice? What does he need to do to get better? Mm-hmm. What did he do to show up late? You know, has he been being a jerk the last week? You know, whatever it may be, you know, they have a right to why, but not about somebody else's kid.
A lot of decorated alums have come from Brophy.
Yeah.
What role do you want them to play in your program?
Huge. So I actually just got an email from Streeter Bates the other day about coming back. He's going to teach on campus in the summer, and he wants to be involved in the program. I'm all for it. I want all the Brophy kids to come back. I've talked to Devin Allen's dad about Devin coming back and speaking, and Trent and Connor Murphy's dad about them coming back and talking to the boys. It's huge. Again, it's a tradition-rich school, and the people are very proud of Brophy, as they should be. I want all of the alumni's support, and hopefully we get, you know, after wins on Friday nights.
Does the younger generation still know of that Brophy tradition going into maybe 7th, 8th, 9th graders?
I don't know about those. I haven't got, you know, we haven't had any camps yet to see any of those guys. So I don't know at this point in time. Once they're on campus, though, I know it's a big deal.
You can recruit.
Quote unquote, I guess. I gotta learn the rules, you know.
Right, but I mean, it's for a private school, it is different than public school.
For sure.
And so people may not be aware of that this is not just about who is in the district, who lives closest. You could go statewide if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think our borders are, yeah, statewide, Maricopa County generally. I can't go and speak to them necessarily about football. Can't target a specific kid, but you know, our director of admissions can go and speak to a group of kids about, you know, the academic success at Brophy and get them on tours on campus. I personally can't call a kid and recruit them like I did at Glendale, but yeah, there's a different process than the public schools.
So Notre Dame Prep, South Point Catholic, you want to play them at some point?
I
think there's, in my view,
and St. Mary's,
and St. Mary's, which would be huge. I believe that there are players that have gone to Notre Dame Prep that back in the day would go to Brophy. It's not a swipe at Notre Dame Prep. It's not. It's just a fact that Brophy has gone so far the other direction that for you to go after to play those teams, it should happen every year.
I agree. You know, you get the traditions. That's big rivalry, Brophy, St. Mary's. And, you know, I want that to come back. With the schedule we have right now, do I want to be Notre Dame, South Point, Liberty, and then go into that schedule with Chandler, Perry, Basha, Hamilton? I don't know if that's what I want to do. But, you know, we can figure out if we end up in a different region than the next block. You know, yeah, but I want to go and talk to some of those coaches about having that private school, Catholic school rivalries coming back.
Did you ever think to maybe take, like, a, for lack of a better term, training wheels head coaching job instead of just jumping into the fire of Brophy and playing all these power programs?
I went right to the top.
Yeah. No, but I mean, seriously, was that the goal, just to start as high as you can go? And
I don't know that
you
haven't
been a head coach in high school before.
I don't know that was really my goal in everything. It just, when this job opened up, it's too good to say no to. And the more I started looking into it and it got further along in the process, I just became more and more excited about being the head coach at Brophy. Was huge. Again, just for so many reasons, not just the football. If you walk on campus right now and you talk to any of the administrators or the faculty members there, I've never been on campus where people have been there 33 years, 34 years. You know you're in a special place when people have worked there that long and they treat their people right. That's why they've been there so long.
No doubt.
So being there now my second week, you know, I'm learning some of this stuff, but it's just amazing the support that they have and the structure they have, you know, there at Brophy.
Okay, I have to tell you, I'm a little concerned about, and this is serious, the over-the-top expectations of Jason Jewell coming to Brophy Prep and how Jason Jewell is going to get every kid recruited because he has such great recruiting pipelines. It is about winning football games, but developing young men at that school. And in any program, it should be that case, but at Brophy. Right. Do you feel as though some of the early conversation around your hire is strictly he's going to get kids recruited? Forget about winning, losing, growing as men.
You know, yes, there's a lot of people that think, yeah, I've come in, I'm going to get guys scholarship offers. I've never been a guy that said, I got a kid a scholarship offer. I will never take credit for that. It's the kids' film, it's their transcripts, their grades that get those kids scholarship offers. I've been helped facilitate getting them seen. Mm-hmm. Now, people have to have realistic expectations. So part of my job is going to be to sit down with the seniors that want to play college football, because not all of them do want to play college football. Sit down and find out who wants to play, then evaluate their film, and then be very upfront and honest with them and how I evaluate them as players. Then it's my job to get college coaches to come at the levels I think they can play at and get them recruited.
But you and I both know you're going to have that parent who is delusional, for lack of a better term, unrealistic expectations, because we get them, you've seen them. Mm-hmm. How are you going to handle that as a head coach? Different environment for you, Jace.
Right. I think if I'm open, if I have this plan, like if we go into before their senior year and we say, okay, I think you're a Division II or Division III football player, and they know that that's what I think, or you're on the bubble. You're maybe a Division II guy now. What do you need to do to continue to get better?
Right.
I think if I'm open up front with them early, then that's going to help ease some of that transition. There's always going to be disgruntled parents, I mean, or kids that just aren't quite realistic on the expectations, but I've done it a lot. I've helped a lot of kids move on, not just from Glendale. I've helped a lot of kids throughout the state.
Yep.
And I feel like a lot of people respect what I'm saying. High school coaches, college coaches, to help get them there. So again, it's not my job to get a kid a scholarship offer, but I am going to do whatever I can to help these kids that do want to play, give them opportunities to move on and play college football at, you know, at any level. Because I do think playing college football is very, very special. It looks great on a resume, you know, moving forward, and it teaches so much for these kids. But playing football, college football at any level, junior mm-hmm. college, Division I, is awesome.
Okay, one last thought on this, and that is when you have the parent who is shopping a kid, which happens, we're going to go to this school, this school, this school, this school. How are you going to discern this is a fit for Brophy versus this is a kid who's being shopped around by dad? Well, and how do you handle that at Brophy?
Well, one, they have to be accepted into Brophy, too. So there's the academic portion of that. You know, I think, obviously, we want good football players. So,
yes, sure.
You know, but we also want good kids, and they have to be a fit, you know, at the school. And, you know, there's some other situations, too, that parents have to deal with versus a public school. You know, can they afford to pay? You know, so shopping, I don't know. There's some other aspects to that shopping portion than not just saying we're going to go to these, you know, public schools mm-hmm. because then they're there, the cost is the same. Where at Brophy, they have to come out of pocket for some things, or they have to travel because it's in Central Phoenix.
Right.
So, but yeah, I'm going to have to, it's going to be one of my learning curves, you know, of figuring that out.
No question.
Who had the best hair among your recruiting roundup co-hosts?
Well, definitely not me. Definitely not him.
Me or Jared? I feel like it's a two-horse race. Me or Jared? This is an important question.
I mean, you got that. Clearly. You got the new, you know, comb-over deal. You know,
sucks
slick.
To suck, Cohen.
Yeah, definitely you. Definitely you.
If you were to look at Eric Sorensen, who you've had as a teammate,
yeah,
and tell him some things that he meant to you, and where he's going with his career, what would you tell him?
Well, when I first met Eric, too, you know, I knew him from the phone. You know, he got a squeaky voice, you know, and I was like, who is this?
Some things never change. You
know, who is this guy? Now a guy that I could call my friend and, you know, talk to on a weekly basis. And that's really when I really truly believe this. Everything in life is about the relationships that you're able to develop, be it football, be it work, be it at home. So the relationships I've built with all of you guys here has been tremendous. I still remember sitting at News 3 with you in the studio my first time, scared. I had a script in my hand, you know.
Black shirt.
Yeah. Make me look skinnier.
Cat hair all over it.
No, sir.
And there was something there. There was something there. First time I saw you was at Desert Ridge High School. And you're in the end zone, and there's all these coaches coming over to you. And I'm like, who is that? And I go over and introduce myself to you, and we immediately had a kinship.
Right.
And to see you after these years now to graduate from this.
Now I'm the head coach at Brophy.
I know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I remember when I met Jason, as I saw him. I mean, he's such a towering figure, not as towering as you, but in his own right, towering. And you'd see him on the sideline, and people would just gravitate towards him.
Yes.
And I remember I was in the opposite end zone, and all these parents and coaches and ex-players were coming up and talking to Jason. And I was like, okay, this guy's clearly legit. So,
yeah, I mean, we're going to miss you, but you're not going to be that far away.
A phone call away, a text away.
If you screw up, we're going to hammer you.
That's okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
What if I go 10-0?
We're going to love you to death. we'll be the ones that say, remember Jason and all the things he took from being here at Sports 360.
I'm going to take some credit.
Yeah, there
That's
you go.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's right. We are so proud of you, in all seriousness.
Appreciate it.
And we are going to miss you. It's been a terrific run having you here and us being part of you. And anything else you guys want to add on this segment?
No.
I don't know.
Nothing else. I've said everything I need to say about Jason, so.
I just know you've been a great mentor and friend for me, especially jumping into the roundup and you dealing with my multiple takes and, always navigating a segment together and things like that. And I think what I'm going to miss the most are the Friday night phone calls after the football game of, hey, here's who I saw. Here's the latest gossip I heard, or this crazy parent came up to me and talked to me about this. Like that's the stuff I'm going to miss the most, definitely.
Although I think you were better at, we had less takes than Cohen, you know.
Oh, there you go.
That's not saying
We were one and done a lot of times.
And I just know this job isn't going to change Jason. Wins, losses, anything, he's still going to be the same great
Better
person,
be wins,
so.
Though.
I know, yeah. But no we're hoping for the best.
Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks for coming in. That's Jason Jewell. He is moving to Brophy, and that is this week's Recruiting Roundup.